everybody, and welcome back to Android App Addicts, episode 431, the only show on the internet where people talk about Android apps that starts with three A's, maybe. I am Mark, sometimes known as the Sultan of the Soapbox, Cockrowin. Joining me, as always, are the people you're really here to see, Eric Ardini. He's here, back again, and your friend and mine, the door-to-door geek. Hello, gentlemen. How are things?
Good, Mark. I'm not moving any major appliances tonight, and I'm not sick, for the most part, except for, like, you guys were talking while I was gone. And I'm glad I'm back, because there was a lot of emails last week, if I remember right, listening to the show. And I'm glad I'm back to fill in some gaps that we're going to have without all those emails. But, no, allergies, dudes, you guys were talking about them. I think I'm a seasonal allergy sufferer now, and I never used to really be that too much, but I got to stop going to the doctor and start self-medicating.
That's the way to do it.
Essential oils.
Okay.
I don't think we had that many emails, Eric. I believe, in fact, we had one email last week, I think.
Maybe I just kept hitting rewind and listening to the same part over and over again then. Something was different.
I don't know. I've been wrong a whole bunch. But I'll also say, Mark, we are the only show with three letters, with three hosts, with a combined age of over 100, which means experience, which means value, which means knowledge and wisdom.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're over 120, I think, aren't we?
We're definitely close, if not.
Yeah, definitely close, if not.
Let's see. There was something I was going to say. I forgot what it was. Oh, essential oils. Yeah. I'm not going to go off on that like I could, but people that think essential oils are going to cure cancer, just knock it off. I don't have to get the flu shot because infuse.
You people that think essential oils will do anything except make you slippery are deluded.
Well, they smell nice.
Are extremely deluded.
Yeah.
I have an essential oil diffuser in my bedroom and one in my living room, and it's a pleasant aroma. That's all it is. There's no positive ions. There's no new age healing. It's not going to, extend my, it's going to smell nice. That's it.
It's going to smell nice. Right. Yeah. And I believed my pet rock would add years to my life.
Yes.
Toe fungus can be cured with certain essential
oils.
Tea tree oil. Yes. Yes.
Then it can probably be cured with nearly anything. Probably could rub dog poop on your toe and it would probably go away as well.
Yep. Turpentine. That's a remedy I've heard.
I'm not saying that I have toe fungus or it's my toe that I'm experimenting with. I'm just saying.
Actually, I do some work from time to time for podiatrists and they sell tea tree oil. That doesn't mean it works. It just means that the people will buy it. Capitalist first.
Have you asked them? Is this real or not? Have you asked them that?
No, because I kind of know the answer.
I asked my doctor, my regular doctor, and he goes, no, you could probably have surgery or something to take care of that, but most people just live with it. I'm like, okay, well, if I ever get toenail fungus, I'll come back and have you repeat that to me. Yeah.
There's a medicine called Jublia. It's the newest thing on the market, and it's like $9 million a week or something, but it's supposed to work. So,
Jublia?
Yeah. Huh. Just because I work in the medical field, I know these things. Chat rooms already says we're ready to move on.
Yes.
No, I'm not done yet. So
I have my own medicine. It's called Captain Morgan.
Good enough. All right, I'm done.
All right. Interesting trivia. Humans share roughly 90% of the same DNA from a fungus. That's why it's hard to get rid of a fungus, because it's us.
Oh.
Dun, dun, dun.
So before we go into the apps, any hardware? Anybody got any cool new hardware to talk about or anything like that before we go into apps?
I have a nice little Bluetooth Jambox that I was impressed with. I don't have it in front of me to show you guys, unfortunately, though, because I didn't know where we were going here. But I was like, oh, man, I should probably talk about this on the show. Thanks for bringing it up. But it's a little white plastic retro-looking Jambox with a leather strap on top of it. And it's so cute because all of the the voice, because it's got an actual FM radio built into it. But it's so Chinese, this thing, that the voice that talks to you has a very thick Chinese accent. It's like, yes. Bluetooth mode.
Yes, I think I have the same voice on one of mine. It says pairing when it's pairing with a device. Yes.
Yeah, it's funny.
Power on.
Well, I technically have a new piece of hardware. It itself is not Android, but it does have an associated application. The app is called Who To Tripmate. H-O-O-T-O-O Tripmate. And it's by Hutu.com. The device is this really small, puck-like, wireless USB device, and Ethernet device. You can hook this up to an Ethernet port, and this can become a wireless adapter, this can be a wireless router, or this can become a wireless bridge. The app lets you connect to it and do all the configuration very easily from the app. Now, if you look at the app, I will say it does literally look like something from Froyo, a gingerbread maybe, with the round buttons on top. But the very top middle button settings is where once you connect to it using the default username password, you can do all the customized settings. There is also a full-size USB port on this thing, so you can hook up a wireless device, a USB storage device, and it can then host a web server on it, and you can host content from it. You can stream from it. It has a DLNA server on it, so you can stream directly from the USB over it wirelessly, or you can just share files from it via that. I think this is a really cool device. It was all of, I think, $14 off of podnuts.com/Amazon. I learned about it from Martin Rambo of Bando. It's a Hootoo, H-O-O-T-O-O. If you find the device, they'll say there's a newer version of it. It's the newer version is like $45 and has a built-in battery. This has a micro USB jack. You just connect to power the device up, and I'm fine saving the money and just powering it up like that.
Have you tested the range on it to see how good the Wi-Fi signal is?
I did bring it to work, load it up, and we have a very large floor where nothing from one end to the other reaches. I was able to go a good amount of the way over the floor, about halfway, and I could still see it. I'm not sure about speeds to it, though.
Okay.
And if you go to the description of the app, it's all in Chinese, because, you know, the Chinese make good stuff.
So says the ShamWow guy.
Yes.
Yeah. I've got a new piece of hardware that Chuck gave to me while we were out at Linux Fest Northwest, and this is called the Mynt, M-Y-N-T, and it is a tracker that you can put on your keys, and it's got an app that you put on your phone, and so anytime you walk away from your keys, you walk away from your phone and your keys are on you, it'll beep at you and tell you, hey, you just left your phone on your desk, you might want to go back and get it, and basically if you can find your keys with it, you hit, go to the app, press the button, and it'll beep. Tell you where your keys are at, or vice versa. If you can't find your phone, you press the button on the key fob and it'll find your phone. I think he was in the Kickstarter for this.
Yeah.
And it's a great concept, but in reality, I was underwhelmed with it. It worked a little bit, and then the battery cover fell out of it. Battery fell out, and it didn't take being on a key ring very well.
You have to charge your keys. That's the problem I see with that device. Oop, I forgot to charge my keys.
No, you don't have to charge them. It's got a little battery in there, like a little watch battery.
Okay.
Yeah, and it will supposedly last for like up to a year, I believe.
Yeah, there's no charger on the keys. There's no way to charge it. But the connection was not, I mean, it was not ready for prime time. And maybe now that it's out of development and the Kickstarter's over, maybe it works better. The hardware looked beautiful. I mean, it's got a gold finish on it with a rubber button in the middle of it. I'm going to keep it on my keys just because it looks cool, but it's no longer functioning.
Yeah, I don't think this was the one. I can't figure out if this was the one, and if this isn't, I can't find the one that does this. But there's one of the devices out there like this, 1 year battery. Hypothetically, let's say you leave it connected to your keys inside a building where there is no Wi-Fi, there is no GPS, there is no nothing. And I walk by with a similar device, same make, same model, but it's mine. My device will then see your device and pass your signal along to home, you know, to tell your guy, look, we found your device. It's over here. I don't think it was this one, but I do like the idea of these kinds of things. It's kind of a shame that the battery cover fell off. Hopefully that was a fluke, is what I'll say.
Right.
It was a little bit bigger than I thought it was going to be, but I do think it looks eye pleasing, is what I'll say.
Yeah, I was when he handed it to me, I'm like, wow, dude, you sure you want to get rid of this thing? So it's cool looking. And
yeah, it says, I'm reading the website here. It says, if you report your device stolen, it will activate all the Mint apps around the globe, and anybody with the app installed can detect your device within 150 feet, and then will report back the location.
It was that. See, that to me is a good idea, because that means you're not reliant on you being close to it, but anybody can be close to it. I really do like the idea of that. I'm not sure that's what's going to, you know, quote unquote, change the game, but I like the idea of it.
Yeah. You know, I'm 44 years old, knock on cheap plastic. I've never in my life lost my keys. I don't understand how people lose their keys. It's just not.
Yeah. Have you ever misplaced them?
No.
I have lost them for, you know, hours.
No, they're either in my pocket or they're in the glass bowl on my dresser up in my bedroom. Those are the only two places, or in the ignition of my car. Those are the only three places that my keys could be.
I haven't lost mine for more than, you know, minutes, maybe 10, 15 minutes, but I have repetitively locked them in my car or something like that.
Well, of course, this app wouldn't help you. It would just tell you, oh, you just locked your keys in your car. Yeah. Congratulations.
Right. It would just tease me about it.
When I was in high school, I locked my keys in my car with it running at lunch.
Ooh.
That was messed up.
I've done that. It's story time. Story time with Mark. It was my wife's car. Actually, she wasn't my wife at the time. It was my fiance's car. And my car was broken, as it always was in college. So I would drive her to work about 30 miles away and then take her car and do my thing and then go pick her up at the end of the day. And we had just taken a long trip and had some drinks in the back, some sodas. I think it was Pepsi or Coke, whichever it was. It was something I don't like that much. And I thought, I'm going to get out and get one of those out of the trunk. And I got out and closed the door and apparently at some point locked the door. And had the trunk open, and the back of the seats fold down so you could get to the car from the trunk easily, if I'd noticed right. That before I closed the trunk. So I'm out on the Texas Highway 34. There's nothing around me. It's 108 degrees in the Texas summer, and I'm sitting there holding this Pepsi that I don't really even like, with the car running and the keys locked inside with my cell phone. So what do? You leave the car running? Do you break a window? What do you do?
I've broken a window before.
So what I ended up doing was just walking away from it and thinking, well, if I can't get in, nobody else can either, I suppose. And walked up to this old country house and said, can I use your phone? They said, no. So much for Texas hospitality.
Wow.
So
did you offer them one of the Pepsis that were in your hand?
No, I probably should have done that, yeah. So then I walked like a mile up to the next house, because that's how far houses were, about a mile away. And used a phone to call my roommate to tell him to go to my fiance's roommate's house to get the spare set of keys and drive out to get me while I walked back to the car. So, yes, I have locked my keys in a running car. I've just never lost them. I knew exactly where they were.
Yeah, I was so upset, I immediately put my head through the passenger window.
What?
Yeah.
That's
I called the cop to come over with a clothes hanger and help me open my door. That's
in this state they can't do it. Well, because too many times they've quote unquote damaged the car.
This was when I was in high school.
Oh well.
Yeah, this is different. Nobody blamed a cop for breaking their door back then if they were trying to help you.
All right, one more story, quick one, and then we'll get to some apps. A friend of mine in high school realized, oh my gosh, I'm about to lock my keys in the car, reached out to try to grab the door, and it closed on her hand with the keys inside. And she had to stand there in great agony for like half an hour until somebody got her out.
That's when you call the fire department.
Yeah, it was the police that did it, but yeah.
So I locked my keys in my car not too long ago, not with it running. The police now, and they still do it here, but they have a neat device that basically they shove it in the gap of your door and the frame of your car. And they pump it up.
Depends. It doesn't work on all cars.
Okay.
But it does work on a lot.
But yeah, it was pretty cool because it's an air bladder, and it has so much pressure, it just like takes your car and just opens it right up so they can get in there easily and press a button. I'm like, man, you are bending my door and everything right now, but it's worth it. What are you going to do, you know?
All right, moving on from that, I'm going to bring a bad app, and it's a shame because this used to be a good app. And now it's a crap app, and it's
I know what it is. Good.
And it's a good app that I got from this show, like what, 4 years ago, and that's eStrong's File Explorer. It's been my File Explorer for years, and you know.
And it has went to.
With each upgrade.
Did you say E-Strong?
Yeah, ES File. E-Strongs. Yeah, ES File Explorer.
Okay, ES. That's Eric Salce. It doesn't stand for anything other than Eric Salce.
Oh, I'm sorry.
ES File Explorer.
I didn't know. So anyway, the with each progressive update recently, it's gotten worse and worse. And this was the final straw this last week when it put adware on my phone and replaced my lock screen with adware. So every time I plugged in, every time my phone locked itself, it did a what was called a turbocharger. That the whole purpose of it was to show me an ad at the bottom of the screen. So I you know, apparently it updated. It was just all sort of automatic. And I popped this little thing and said, "Would you like to enable turbocharging?" It's like, okay, I don't know what that is, but sure, I'll click yes. And then the next time I reached over and grabbed my phone, there was an ad, full page ad, taking up the full 5-inch glory of my Nexus or Moto X. And so I figured out what was doing it and gone. By ES File Explorer. You have just give me the opportunity to pay you a buck and not give me all the crapware. But there's not a pro version of that. All they have is the free version.
They do have a pro ES File Explorer for $3. But
that's an extra. That's just to enable add-ins, add-ons.
Right.
Well, they'll still give you the crapware.
It's done extremely sleazy in the sense of when you see that, you have no idea what application is pushing that charger.
Right.
No one's going to think instinctively, oh, well, this must be ES File Explorer. A File Explorer would always ask me if I want to turbocharge, won't it? Because I had the same thing, and I literally did all the investigation I could to figure out what app was causing this thing to pop up. And after 20 minutes, I just said, I have no idea. After looking at the phone, I had no idea what it was. I literally had to go to Google and figure out what it was because it was on my old Moto X I used for voicemails. And that was the only way I found out what it was, and I was so upset.
Yeah, I went and looked at my recently updated apps and then Googled those apps and found that there's a number of them that have put that same adware in, and ES File Explorer is the only one I had installed. So bye-bye, ES File Explorer. You were a good thing for a while, but not anymore.
They were the staple. They were it. They were the premier. They're what other apps tried to be. They are the application whenever you needed to do anything in a file, on a file, on storage, on your network. Oh, we'll just use ES File Explorer because it worked. It worked fantastic. And it's like slow, methodical corruption has either happened at the company or they've sold off or they have to answer to whoever. So they've slowly gotten worse and worse and worse and worse over the last 2 years. To the point where I don't even recognize them anymore, kind of thing.
Yeah, I should have dumped them a few months ago when they added a memory cleaner.
Yeah, that's when I dumped them. It's like the real player model or something. You know, you have something that's useful, and then just keep adding crapware to it until everybody's disgusted.
And Marshmallow has a rudimentary File Explorer built in now that's good enough for most people. So I would say that most average users, not the people who listen to this show, but average users don't need a File Explorer anymore because Google has provided it for you.
So the people who leave ES File Explorer and they want something new. Now, Dor, you suggested that I try something, and it's fine, but it also has an add-on app. It's the FX File Explorer, but it comes with an FX text edit that I'm never going to use, and there's no way to get rid of.
In virtually any modern app launcher, you can hide icons from the app drawer if you don't want to see it. The only two apps I hear people suggest in its place is FX or Solid Explorer. And I will say, I looked at Solid Explorer again the other day. It does look really good. So I might install that one as well, have them side by side. But for now, I'm sticking with FX. I really like the split view. I really like the fact that it can connect to network shares. It can store my credentials to log into my web servers in a secure fashion. And I can easily copy paste from local storage to own cloud to web server with no issues. But yes, there's a stupid FX text editor in the app drawer by default.
Well, I will tell you that I went with Solid Explorer and paid the $1.99 for the pro version. And that is my app pick this week, Solid Explorer File Manager. It's a 14-day free trial. I don't know what gets unlimited or what gets disabled after 14 days. But I liked it enough. It was good. It was solid. There's no ads. So I paid the $2 and, that is my File Explorer of choice right now. It does everything ES File Explorer did. It's got a nice clean interface And I found it very much worth the $2. And I don't spend anything for anything. So that says something.
Right. Well, I think it's pretty obvious what would happen after the time period mark. It would no longer be solid. It would become flaccid. Right.
So, yeah, I'm thank you, Mark, for this update. And I'm going to have to say that ES File Explorer isn't worth even calling it Eric Salce anymore. So, no, it's back to E Strong and Eric Salce. I'm going to say solid Explorer file manager. I'm just going to call that Eric Salce.
Salce?
Yeah.
Salce file manager. Well, yeah, the only reason to call ES Eric Salce now is if you want to insult Eric Salce.
Right.
And I don't really want to insult Eric.
Could be a good one to have in your back pocket, though. You know that guy sometimes. Well, you know, he was banned from Android App Addicts.
Well, he was for many years.
Yeah.
And Solid Explorer does have the dual pane that you wanted, Door. That's built in as well.
It does, and it has a beautiful progress indicator. When I saw that progress indicator, okay, I'm going to have to download it because it just looked gorgeous.
I'm sure it's not accurate. Literally, none of them are.
None of them are. I don't care. But I also have now over $10 in Google Play credit.
Nice.
So I might as well spend it on Solid Explorer.
I bought Force Awakens with my Google Play credit.
Good man.
In HD, because why not? All right, so that's my app. I know I'm rocking the rules of the contest here by the host bringing an app. I promise not to do it very often. But Eric, since you were away with us from us for so long, why don't you kick us off with an app?
It was a good app. If you're going to bring one, it might as well be a good one. Well, no, you did bring a CrackBap too, though.
But yeah, it was both.
Well, he brought balance to his apps.
Yeah. Okay, so I thought you guys had talked about this one last week, but I'm going to bring it anyway again this week. I got a chance to use it finally, and this is called Fi Info, and this is for people who are on Google Fi as I am. I wasn't sure it was doing anything until today, actually, and if you look on here, on my screen, basically it shows every Wi-Fi and network I was connected to, whether it be Wi-Fi or 3G, 4G, EVDO, different places I was at. I'm not sure why I would want that, but it's kind of nice just to know. Hardee's, I did connect to Hardee's Wi-Fi, and it let me know that. I assume it's Hardee's Wi-Fi. I was in a Hardee's, and it said Hardee's open Wi-Fi. I took a chance.
Well, now here's what I thought. If you walk into Hardee's, and Hardee's Wi-Fi is one of the Google-approved secure VPNable Wi-Fi connections, your phone's just going to automatically connect to it.
Right, it wasn't.
Right, so you had to hit connect.
I hit connect, and then I also accepted their terms of service.
Bold man.
But this is good for people who are out of town, maybe, and they want to see how they're connected. Like, I'm in my own town, and it's always just 2G, 3G, EVDO. I never get a 4G here. Which is fine because I'm usually on a Wi-Fi most of the time. And
gotcha.
It also tells me when I had no signal at different places, different times. I did get 4G a couple times, but I did drive out of town today.
Right. Well, I mean, I'll say this is not a Google app. This is by MBMC. E for everyone, free, no ads, no in-app purchase, completely free. The one thing I do like is you can have a widget on your desktop where you can say Force Sprint or Force T-Mobile or just go back to auto. I really do like that option. If I had a Fi device, I would definitely have this app installed.
Right. And looking at this, it doesn't seem to ever connect to any T-Mobile. So I only am connecting to Sprint when I'm outside of my Wi-Fi's. There's no T-Mobile connections on my log for today or since the 10th. That's interesting to know, you know. And I suppose when I go out of town, you know, it might be all T-Mobile. But it's just neat to know. And then, yeah, if you look at this and you say, oh, yeah, all the T-Mobiles are 3G and all the Sprints are 4G LTE, yeah, only connect to Sprint.
All right. Yeah. What does the related app next to it, Fi Switch, do? Do you know? You check that one out?
I've never played with Fi Switch by D. Witherell.
Okay. It's similar icon.
I imagine it probably does what we were just talking about, where you can...
All right. Door, yeah. Your turn.
Okay, the app I'm going to bring is a Linux app, most indeed. It is called Termux, T-E-R-M-U-X. And this on my Remix Ultra is really nice. This is a full Linux Bash-like terminal that I can run on my Android device. and it does have a little bit of extra functionality built into it. For instance, one of the things it has is HTOP, which is a very nice, handy-dandy, see what's running on your device at any point in time. And it does pick up the Android stuff that is running, which I find kind of interesting. It also has a little bit of the good color coding, which is back in the day, I used to like the fish shell because it was ridiculously colorful. This does have tab completion. It does have the colors. It says you can switch between the bash shell and ZSH shell, and also has built in, which I didn't realize, Nano and or Vim. So if you're a Nano text editing guy or a Vim editing guy, they're automatically built in with this terminal. So that's gives you the ability to, you know, get down and dirty with the text.
I just threw up in my mouth a little bit at the thought of Vimming on a touchscreen keyboard. Ugh. That's why
I got my Remix Ultra. I have a physical keyboard. And on a physical keyboard, to do any amount of typing command style on a touch keyboard has to be quite uncomfortable. I will say that.
I can say I've never Vimmed on any keyboard.
You're not missing anything. You're better off. Your life is better never having Vimmed.
You're missing a certain amount of pain and angst.
That's much like saying I've never cut one of my own toes off with a pair of dull scissors.
Yes, but then you'll find people who say, you know, I really love cutting myself.
I like the second from the last screenshot because it looks like the Matrix.
Yeah, there was something in there I saw about that, but you know, since there was only one Matrix movie, I figured I wouldn't spoil my memory of it.
I do like that it has a SSH terminal built in. I use an app called ConnectBot to SSH from my phone, which I don't like to do, but sometimes you gotta. And when you're a server guy, sometimes you gotta. So that's a neat thing. But the thought of just opening up a bash shell just for fun on my phone is just, I'm not that much of a geek. I'm just not.
What?
And I thought SSH was built into Android. I really did. I didn't think it was separate, but
maybe it just exposes it, because I've never found a way to access that outside of an app.
You know, I use the terminal window and different things, and I hit the tab button because Door told me how to do that, and nothing happens except for when Door was to hold my hand through it.
Tab completion is the only thing that enables most of the people to use the command line interface and not go crazy, make huge mistakes, or devote lots of time.
And
it is like, you know, the golden ticket kind
of thing. Yeah, and I want to use it every time, and never will it do anything for me.
Probably the reason it didn't work for you is because you're dealing with the case sensitivity bug in Linux.
Or you're just tabbing at the wrong time. Timing is everything. You know, it's like hitting a baseball. If you swing too early, ain't nothing going to happen.
Okay. I'll keep experimenting with it. But I was impressed with it. I mean, that made me want to come back for more, Door. You're correct on that.
Well, it's the only way you can navigate through, you know, a long chain of directories. Humans can't do that. That's why it was invented. In fact, a quick tip. If you don't know that, almost all IRC clients include that. So, for example, if you want to speak to Professor Chaos in our chat room, you could just type PR and hit tab, and it's going to pop up his name. So just for future reference.
Yes, add, even in the Windows command prompt, CMDEXE, there is a certain level of tab completion as well. But of course, it is incredibly crippled and hampered and
not as good.
Inept and bad.
You got to get your tildes in the right place.
Yes, you do. And paste still sucks in the Windows command prompt. But yeah.
All right, let's read an email. We have one email this week. I think just the one. Let me make sure. No, we've got two.
Okay. One from Todd.
That's right. So this one is from Joe Licata. It says, "Hey guys, I'm really looking forward to seeing who wins the Pine 64. If you're listening right now and you're not part of the Podnuts Google Plus communities, you're not only missing great content that isn't shared on the show, but a few fun laughs as well. Cody Cooper had me laughing so hard with his memes that I decided to join the fun. I've never made a meme before, but thought, how hard could it be? Turns out it's very simple, and of course, there's an app for everything. I downloaded InstaMeme and made my first meme in less than 1 minute. It was so easy with this app, I was able to do another while pumping gas. It does have ads at the bottom, but that's understandable when the app is free, right? You can select from a list of memes, and the app has pre-installed, or upload your own photo. I use quotation marks around the word meme because the selection is terrible. They're just pictures of cats, people's faces, and a few cartoons. It would be nice if the selection were of real recognizable memes, like the Dos Equis guy or baby fist pumping, etc. I just downloaded the picture I wanted to use from Google and uploaded to the app. Add text that it's already formatted in that memorable font you know so well, then share. It does have a share button for Facebook and Twitter that both didn't work. But hey, I have a hard time trusting apps to push to my social networks anyway. It saves in your camera's gallery, and you can manually share wherever you like. The app doesn't sound as good as before writing this. I give it 3 of 5 stars for the simple fact that it does what I need it to. But beyond that, meh.
Very cold, Joe. And every time I hear Joe Licata, I just, in my head, Joe Licata? Some of those memes literally made me laugh. I loved Cody Cooper's usage of J. Jonah Jameson from Spider-Man movies, and Steve Jobs. The Steve Jobs ones was so distasteful, yet not vulgar, but funny, really funny.
I forgot about that. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, but I can't talk about it anymore. And Joe did more than a couple of his own that I thought were very funny as well. But of course, I can't talk about them either because you have to join the communities to see them.
Oh man, I tell you what, I wrote back. I couldn't wipe the smile off my face. I was laughing so much at all of these memes coming through for that contest, and I appreciate it. I mean, that was probably one of my best weeks on social media, seeing what people that I know. Well, I haven't met all of them physically. People who reach out to us a lot, making these memes for the Pine 64. It was really fun reading them, and they were very funny.
It's Insta Meme : Meme Generator from Fossum Apps Entertainment. E for everyone, free. I believe he said in-app purchases. No, he didn't say that.
And I'll just say, Pine 64. What he was referring to was mini computer went on Kickstarter. Maybe November-ish timeframe, promised a low price, super low price, not $9 super low price, but like $15 super low price. And then it was scalable. You could customize it. You could say, give me more RAM or give me Bluetooth Wi-Fi. And it would cost more, up to $25. I purchased 2 of them back then. I just got 2 of them in. You still cannot outright buy them. So they're not, available basically. And I'm happy to say that Podnuts isn't filled with ridiculous ads, sponsorships about stupid cooking things that create mounds of trash, or better sleeping technology, or, you know, Bud's barbecue baked bean, whatever. We just have fans who support us. And I was able to give away a premier, unreachable piece of hardware on a show that no one can get their hands on, and I was able to give it away, and thankfully give it away to someone who I think is a genuine fan of the show and not just a random lurker who found our posting to it. If you want to partake in that kind of social interactions, stop listening to incessant, ongoing, long-winded, repetitious, obsessive ads about things that people don't feel passionately about at all, and listen to more Podnuts. Oh, was I long-winded? I'm sorry.
No, well, as long as you're talking, why don't you bring us an app?
Okay. Well, I have to definitely thank Joe for that one. And what I'm going to bring is, I'm going to bring this one only because I really want people to know about this, and I would like to see people use it so I can get a better understanding of it. It's called Simple Mind Free Mind Mapping. The way I look at this is by Model Maker Tools productivity app, E for everyone, no ads, no in-app purchases, completely free to download. 22,000 reviews on it, four point something stars. To me, this seems like a brainstorming session documenter tool kind of thing. While you're brainstorming stuff, this can help you map out ideas and patterns and connections, and maybe, I guess, inspire you to have more ideas. That's what I think this tool is. It's pretty, but, you know, I'm not sure I really get the gist of it.
Coming from the education world, mind mapping was a big deal there. Sorry, Eric. And so I know a little bit about it. It was one of those things that was supposed to be the next great tool in education. It's a graphical way to do an outline. That's really all it is. You start with a thought, and then you branch off of that thought in the same way that you would make bullet points. But if you are a visual person and you're a graphical person, it's bullet points for the artist.
Well put. Yeah, I've been in sessions where we've done this, and nothing I would take home and try for myself or any project that I'm on. I just don't do it.
I'm just far too left-brained. It doesn't work for me at all. I like everything to be, you know, left-justified and aligned and in order. Looking at these mind maps just makes me want to fix them. They're broken because they're not straight.
They're not straight. None of them are straight. I love the idea of these things, and I know there are certain things that I can benefit my workplace, for instance. I know there's certain things in my head that if I put out right, people would benefit from them. Not that I know great and grand ideas, but like, for instance, you know, easy 300 people in my building. One person in the building has heard of Docker or containers or Kubernetes or Shipyard or any of these new technologies. Windows Server 2016 is getting ready to come out. We're a Windows shop. Windows 2016 is going to have Docker built into it. These are the kind of things that I think we have to be aware of before we start just loading this server OS to know how to take advantage of. And nobody in the building seems to know about it. So, and I keep thinking there's certain things I can do to help other people get up to speed. And I keep thinking maybe one of these tools can somehow help. I don't know. I'm going to keep trying stuff.
I put an article in the chat room, lifehacker.org, how to mind map in 3 small steps. If you're interested in following up on that.
Cool. Thank you.
I'd rather just go do something. And get it done, not chart out how I'm going to get there. Just do it.
You don't want to plan and organize. You want to just hitchhike across the country.
Just nail it. Yeah. If I lose a little bit here and there, maybe I'll,
well, you know, maybe I'll go back there's and come a, up. There's this guy I met like a week or two ago that you might really like. His name's Josh. He lives up in the Great Northwest. He kind of does the same kind of thing.
Just does it?
No, he kind of likes to like not plan and just go.
Yeah. I'm with Josh, man.
If you're a single person doing a thing, I think a mind map is not really useful. It's useful for bringing groups of people together who organize information differently ordinarily. You know, anytime you get 15 people in the room, you're going to have different people who organize information differently. And so a mind map is a good way because you get that kinesthetic sense of drawing and moving things around. And so people who learn that way get it. You get the visual steps, so people who learn that way. You get the words, so people who learn that way. It's a way of crossing the multiple, bridging the multiple intelligences that you have in a room. But if you're the kind of person who doodles, a mind map may be for you. If you're not, if you're the kind of person who just does, it's not going to be for you because you'll spend the time, so much time mind mapping that you could have just been doing it. And I think that's what Eric is saying. He doesn't want to waste the time he wants to be doing.
Well, we did, I went to a retreat once and we did a mind map and it worked out good because like you said, there was a bunch of people in the room and we did have a couple major disasters, which I was part of the recovery and the CENTCOM, you know, and in that situation, it's good to get it all down on paper. Who's going to take care of what? Because you've got a limited time and a lot of work to get done to keep, you know, people from being harmed. So in those situations, I do like, you know, at least a whiteboard so everybody's on the same page, you know.
Well, I would say, first off, this Life Hacker article, I'm begging Mark to look at as I speak. There's no doubt that main image on the very top, all those lines and arrows just drive you absolutely bonkers because they are like ridiculously not straight.
It looks like Doc Ock from Spider-Man.
Yes, it looks pretty confusing. But I just want to make a quick comment about Life Hacker. Life Hacker seems to me like it's doing a little bit of a pivot, a transition, where they're trying to do some other things. They're not killing you with ads like a lot of other websites.
Wait, before honestly, before you go too far, I misspoke. This is not Life Hacker. This is lifehack.org, an entirely different website.
You're right. You're right. Because I was going to compliment them that this site isn't bad. They have a lot of ads on the right-hand side, but it's not bad. They're not jumping out at you. They're not intercepting you. And it looks like it's pretty well written.
So these guys took the place of where Life Hacker went astray.
Well, maybe they're their little brother. Oh, wait. Maybe not. Well, it's a decent-looking site. Either way, Mark, you get credit.
Okay. That was It's back to you, Eric. Please.
Okay. This was given to... And I just went through the Google Plus. I can't find who brought it to me, but...
Martin Arimo Bando.
Oh, it was Martin. Okay. I probably stole this from you then, Dor, didn't I?
Yeah, nope. The answer. Me, no, me never bring no weather apps to nothing.
You always bring them to everything then. Okay. So this is the Dark Sky Hyper Local Weather. This is a good looking weather app. I mean, if you live in a place where the weather changes, like here, you know, it's 57 and steady right now is what it's telling me. It's got a nice interface, very unique interface. Very, I'd say like web 2.0 things slide nice and zoom in and fade out. The map is the mapping for looking at your radar is kind of Google Earth-ish where it shows the whole globe and you can just zoom in and easily watch the clouds float by and storms race on and things like that. If you are a fan of any kind of weather app at all, if you are one of those people who uses them a lot, give this one a try. Again, it's called Dark Sky Hyper Local Weather. Now, there are things which enable the hyper local because they want to, and you don't have to let them, but they want to use your pressure sensors in your phone and crowdsource that information to make better weather predictions for the users.
Yeah, they want to use your GPS and your barometer
on
your phone, which not all phones have, but lots of them do to help gather crowdsource information.
It's got a little bit like Waze, too, where you can report weather as it's happening. Like, say, if it starts lightning, you just hit the lightning button and hit submit instead of reporting an accident. Or you can just randomly just report, hey, it's clear right now here.
Right. Well, in the very first image, I think it summarizes a lot of at least the functionality. It says, scary precise forecast tell you when the rain will start or stop down to the minute. And I said it like that on purpose because that's what I felt like they typed it as. This used to be, quote unquote, one of the big apps on iOS for a long time, like literally 5+ years ago. This was the weather app to get. It's finally, quote unquote, came out on Android. It only has 698 reviews at the time of this broadcast. I guarantee if you go back and look at when this show gets released, it's going to have probably 6,000 reviews.
Now, something that's different about this app compared to almost all apps, you don't usually see a subscription model. You can download it for free and use it for free. If you want to open up more functionality, it's $2.99 a year. If you're a weather nerd, you probably would pay that. But I'd rather just pay $5.99 forever and probably only use it for a year, honestly.
I have a question. How do you have 600 reviews and 10 to 50 installs?
Obviously, the install number is further behind, is what I'll say.
Or it's iPhone people reviewing the iPhone app.
It shouldn't be. I mean, really shouldn't be. I will say this literally came out, I think, today or yesterday. So I guarantee you, even if you just check back tomorrow, that install number is going to be well past the hundreds.
Of course, the first four reviews are complaining about the fact that it's subscription-based. It's not a review. They read the specs. Subscription? Why Android version-based, subscription-based while Apple version not? Why make Android app subscription-based while the iOS is not? Ugh, subscription, so excited. So that's the first ones. So that's how you get 600 apps. It's people whining who haven't actually installed it. They read the specs and went, oh, I don't want that. Would be five stars if not for the subscription. Really? I understand cheap, but all of these, I'm just going through, and they're all about the subscriptions.
And I'll say I understand what they're saying, quote unquote, but at the same token, I'm old. Like I stated at the very beginning of the show, we have combined age old. I would much rather pay a subscription service to something only because I'm more assured of its longevity. In 3 months, 6 months, 1 year, or 3 years, I know this app will be there and probably be getting updated because they're getting continuous money. Continuous money typically means continuous development. One-time money, one-time, the money, that means one-time development.
And honestly, $3, what, I mean, that's half of a bag of jerky at the gas station.
Of cheap jerky.
All of these reviews that I'm looking at, I've scrolled through all of them that they'll show me May 12th, today. All of these reviews, so it was featured somewhere on, you know, some Reddit site or something like that, and somebody said, go haze them because they have a subscription.
Or, and other app, other weather app people are paying other people to go and give bad reviews.
Well, there's more than a couple of them that mention Weather Timeline, which now I'm not going to install because I think you're onto something, Dor.
Oh, no, I guarantee you. Let me tell you something. I guarantee you 2/3 or more of all reviews on these types of services are basically, what was it called? Turkish machine.
Oh, Turkish. Yeah. The Mechanical Turk.
Mechanical Turk, where they're not quote unquote real people. How many real people do you know take the time to write out full reviews like this without being paid for it?
Right. Okay. You know what?
And I say that to the Amazon review crew here.
I'm buying it now just because.
So the first app I came to that didn't complain about the subscription said, inaccurate. I've only had the app for a few hours, and it says there's 100% chance of rain, and there's only a few clouds. So you don't understand prediction at all, do you? 100% must mean it's raining on your head right now.
I've made my... Actually, you get 14 days for free, so I didn't even get paid. I didn't have to pay nothing yet. So.
Right. Well, and I'll say it like this. They have a fantastic name. I'm sorry. Dark Sky. I hate weather apps. I'm tempted to install it because it's called Dark Sky. And it does have radar. The only thing I ever use with any kind of weather app is when, hypothetically, I'm at an amusement park and it starts to rain. I pull up the radar and I can see the progress of the rain. And I can see which way it's going. And I can see when the rain's going to stop.
Mark, with the recent weather where you're living, you need to install this app, sir.
I use an app called Radar Now.
Huh?
I use an app called Radar Now, which does exactly all what Dor's talking about. When I want to read the radar now, I use Radar Now.
Yeah. Radar Now and Raindar are the two big ones for that.
Raindar's nice too. I've got that installed. I'll probably uninstall it for a little while to see how it goes. Actually, I hadn't had it installed until I talked to Chuck, and he's like, oh, yeah, I still use Raindar. I'm like, oh, yeah, I forgot about Raindar. So, yeah, I plan my weekends kind of, you know, a couple days in advance based on the weather. But, you know, am I going to go out in the canoe? Am I going to, you know, chop wood? Is it going to be too hot to do both?
I never know. I already have a weather app that's voice activated. Hey, hun, what's weather going to be like this weekend?
Dog.
And it responds like magic.
Dor, look it up for yourself. Dong.
No. I mean, I have the Google weather widget on my front screen of my phone, and so I can see the next 4 days and the current temperature. And if I tap on one of those 4 days, it takes me to the weather forecast. That's all I need. I don't need hyperlocal.
Not hyperlocal.
And that's fine for people who want it. It's just not me.
I'm going hyper, man.
And they just tested the first ever hypertube the other day. So,
really?
The times are changing.
Did it work?
It didn't blow up, but it only went 100 miles an hour, where their goal is to go 400 miles an hour in less than 6 seconds, I think it is.
400 miles an hour for a distance?
No, 400. In the first 6 seconds or something of travel, they want to get up to 400 miles an hour.
0 to 400 in 6 seconds.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so I also like the name Dark Sky Dor, because anything that's taking my position in the world and taking multiple inputs from my phone and called Dark Sky, I definitely have to pay for this opportunity.
I'm tempted to pay for it, even because I don't want it, just because they're getting so screwed here.
Yeah. Just for spite or anti-spite. What's the opposite of spite? Or would it still be spite?
Goodwill.
You know what? I would also like to say, this being a long time Apple app and just now coming to Android, they didn't use an iPhone in their screenshots.
I know.
I got to give them kudos for that too.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And even though it really just took an intern 15 minutes to do that, I don't care. They still did it.
Right.
All right. I'm going to read some emails now. We have two emails about one app from Todd Evans, where he starts out, this was last week. I said I was going to play it, but Eric wasn't around. He says, hey guys, I found an app that Eric might just fall in love with. I know I did. I haven't been this excited about a new music discovery app in a long time. Here's where you can go get a beer, Dor. The app is Hitlantis. It's a music discovery app designed like nothing I've ever seen before. There was a music player I used a while back called N7 Player. It could use a cloud-style interface for your artists rather than a list. It was unique in its own way. Hitlantis has an incredible UI, accurately described as a sea of bubbles. That is easily the best way I personally have come across to discover new music. It has an easy integrated pause, play, previous, next button, where all of those functions are done through the same button. Tap the button to pause or play, pull the button to the right to skip to the next track, pull it to the left to play the previous track again. There's playlist sharing, band following, and likes, comments, band bios, and many more options. I have only spent a few hours with it, but I'm definitely hooked and will be spending many more hours with it. Oh, and as an added bonus, there's no video! Hope you get a chance to try it out before the next show, Eric. P.S. to my fellow listeners, help support this podcast by throwing the guys some coin over at Patreon. They deserve it. You don't have to break the bank to make a difference. Keep up the awesome shows. Battery at 43%. So before you comment on that, let me read his follow-up email that just came in a couple of days ago. He says, "Hey guys, I just wanted to provide you with a quick follow-up on Hitlantis app that I emailed you previously. Amazingly, it no longer appears to be actively under development. The last update was November 2011. I'm still amazed that I'd not run across this app because I actively look for new music discovery apps. I've been enjoying it just as enthusiastically as I did when I first found it a week or so ago. However, one thing I've found is that the Hitlantis webpage is more user-friendly than the app is. One example is the app has there is no function to like an individual song, only to like an artist. I thought this was a bit odd since I'm more likely to appreciate an individual song from an artist before becoming a follower of the band, a follower or fan of the entire collection of their songs. Another area where the website is more friendly is the navigation department. On the lower left of the webpage, there is a radio channels box to quickly jump between genres. If you're in the app and you have to zoom out from your location and pick another color of the bubble, rainbow, often not knowing what the genre or particular bubble color is associated with. Not to diss the app, but the website also makes it a handy to glean some of the artist's basic information just mousing over their bubble. Mousing over any bubble, you can see the band name, genre, country, number of songs, of samples, and number of fans. I think the combination of the website and the app are just spectacular. The developers must be based in Finland or thereabouts, since it appears that the vast majority of the artists are from Finland. I hope I've not completely put you to sleep, Dor. I know how much you love music discovery. Battery 77%. Keep up the great work, guys."
Well, I like ingenuitive interfaces, and I'll say what I'm going to guess happened. Hitlantis paid Cognitive Maps LTD to make an app, and then decided to not continue to pay them to update the app. That's what I'm going to guess happened. So it was an app that was made and just not kept up. It did make it though to version 0.96, which meant they started the app, and then before they even got to version 1, they said, "Let's kill this project." The website is kind of overwhelming. If you have like a serious case of obsessive compulsive, you might not want to go to the website because you'll be tempted to click on every bubble, and that would probably take a while, like a day.
I'll put it this way. If you love Winderstat and you love music, this is the website for you.
If you like blind maps and you like music, Hitlantis is for you.
Right.
I never tried the app. I'm sorry, but when he put the description, "Hey Eric, you'll love it. It's music and bubbles." I didn't go there. Besides, I've got a new love, and that's called Google Play Music, which I was paying for, and Dor just invited me to his family, so now we got that bond on top of all the other things we got going together. So I am going to be probably tied up with Google Play Music for a while until I get bored with it or they stop changing it enough to keep my interest. And
well, but I mean, here's the thing. You are in the best possible predicament because it's costing you nothing out of a pocket. So you have no vested interest to stay. There's nothing saying in your head, "Well, I'm paying X amount. I better stick with Google Play Music."
Right.
Which should make you more open.
Yeah, and I've been a long time. I was a slacker. I loved Slacker, and I loved Songza, you know. And I'm sure Google Play Music's going to wear on me after a while, and I will move on to whatever's, you know, the next thing that brings music to me that I want to hear. That, you know, I don't always like hearing the same thing. I really don't like any of the music I grew up with, and I like experiencing new music, different. And that's one thing with Slacker. They would throw just enough different artists. They were famous in a genre similar that I had never personally heard of, but were famous people. Just enough thrown there in there along with my stream that I learned a lot of new music. I was appreciative of that.
Wasn't Slacker the one where you could buy the app or buy the device from them? There was somebody, I think it was, might have been Slacker, where you could buy an MP3 player preloaded with music. No?
I'm not sure. I remember there was an HD one, like an HD audio something or other like that, too, but I'm not sure.
It does look like Slacker Radio hardware. It looks like Crocus, maybe.
Oh, that rings a bell, yeah.
Yeah, you could buy like the 8 gig or the 4 gig version, and it came preloaded with music that from radio stations you'd already picked. And then you could have it like sub out. I'm not sure how it worked, but
thing. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a player that would only play your Slacker stream. This was a long time ago. This was like 99, probably 2002, somewhere around there.
Yeah. I'm able to find on Amazon.com by Slacker, currently unavailable, of course. Slacker 2 gigabyte portable radio with 15 stations. Yeah.
And then songs.
Good call.
Songs, I was all for songs. And then Google actually, I think, bought them. And a lot of the technology that's behind Google Play Music came straight from there, including many of the stations that I was already listening to went right straight over there.
All right. So the service I'm finding tanked in October 2009. I don't know how long it was around. So probably 2006 to 2008. Was it would have been its heyday.
Yeah. And it came installed on many of the Samsung devices, Slacker did. It was the app. Yeah. Was.
Well, as long as I can listen to Kaja Gogo, I guess I'm okay.
I'm not familiar with that one.
I know, because you hate stuff from that time frame, but you know.
What about the Undercover Lovers?
Wait a minute. Let me think about that. No.
I thought you were a fan.
No. No, I'm so happy all my album art's fixed.
Did you fix it?
No, I didn't fix nothing. Google did.
Oh.
I was so upset. I was literally like embarrassed to have anyone even see my phone for like a year whenever I played music.
Mark, so mine was an Aerosmith album art that was like two trucks humping. I'm not sure what album that was, but Mark, did you have a certain album art that got stuck on all of your songs that didn't have its own album art? That's memorable like that? Because I had hundreds of songs that had the same album art that had nothing to do with the song.
No, I don't believe I had that experience. But it's been fixed, you say?
Yeah, they fixed it. I still have a couple weird album covers, but it's like various artist album covers that they put on top of it, which ain't bad because they're not horrendous. But the Undercover Lovers one, which I'm really happy, even when I go to Google Images and type Undercover Lovers album, I don't see the image, so that makes me feel even better. Google has maybe wiped their existence off the face of the planet.
I personally think one of the dumbest things I ever did was click that button where it said, would you like a bunch of free music? And I said, sure. And it polluted my library with a bunch of stuff that I don't care about, will never care about, and now can't get rid of.
Yeah, I do remember that button, and I remember thinking, no.
That was on what?
Google Play.
Google Play Music. As soon as it first launched, one of the first times you launched it, it said, hey, would you like to populate your library with some free music? And I knew there's no way I'm going to like virtually any of those songs, if any, so no.
I don't know if I did that or not. I don't
remember. The Aerosmith pop album? Okay.
Yep. That was on hundreds of my album arts was this pump album.
Yeah, that ain't that bad.
No. For a while, it's okay. It grows on you. It wears on you.
All right, let's do some tank emptying, starting with you, Eric.
Okay, I'm going to bring one last app for my tank emptying. And this one I haven't tried totally. I mean, I tried to... Okay, I'm just going to say it. This is called Beam. B-E-M-E. You're going to love this, Mark. I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm. I'm so excited.
Mark's going to be like, I don't know why anybody would ever want to... So basically, what Beam does is it takes video of things around you and posts them out to the internet, and you have no way to edit the video or audio that you do. It's just for sharing exactly what's going on around you the way it is. No Photoshop, no making you look like an alien so that people think you're cute when you're ugly. No editing. And the interface is really weird because to fire it up from any app, on your phone, you just basically press like the top of your screen with your hand or your forehead. That's one way you can launch it. It's just like hold it up to your forehead, because anytime you cover the top of your screen, it will know to start that app and start recording.
So like when you slip it in a shirt pocket.
I am new with this app. I have not experienced too much of it yet. It does make nice little 4-second videos You know,
okay, first off, the guy in the video looks like he has a hair bun. Foul number one.
No man bun allowed.
No. Two, who in the hell wants to say, hey, no. Put the phone up against your head. Excuse me? Put the phone up against your head. You want me to do what? Just take the phone. No. What the hell is that? You have a button like everyone else. Say record.
Yeah, so you don't have to have a button. You just touch the top part of your phone and it starts recording. Because you don't have to take it out, find your camera app, all those very long shortcuts.
So it's always running and monitoring your sensors. That is the dumbest thing I think I've ever heard.
It's always running and waiting for you to cover the top of your phone.
I'm taking your place here, Mark. I like the idea of just shooting video and sharing it a lot because I think that's cool. And it allows people to be lazy. You don't have to edit it. You don't have to Snapchat filter it. You just boom, boom, boom. But to have it always, I want no app running all the time unless I specifically say I want the app running all the time. If a requirement for the app to work is it has to be running all the time and its job is to take videos, that is a horrible design mistake, in my opinion. Just disgustingly horrible design faux pas. And the fact that some people just won't stop taking selfies doesn't help.
Yeah. I just figured I'd bring it out here since it's going to be huge.
Is he in like the middle of the Nordic? Is that why he can't touch his phone? He has to touch to his head? I mean, if you're an Eskimo.
That's a good point.
Then maybe there's some validity to it. But I don't think that's the case because I don't think they have hair buns.
What if you could be wearing gloves for many other reasons than just cold? You know, you could be keeping your hands from being
then
dirty.
Do you know what I do? I'm the nerd who takes the phone and hits the button with my nose.
bash prompt, huh?
Yeah, it's bash prompt from the nose. Because it works. And I have done it from time to time. And I look like an idiot doing it. But I would look even stupider holding the phone up to my head.
That's... Dora, I thank you for that tip. That's a pro tip. Because I have not used my nose. And I would actually take the glove off. You know, like earlier, I was trying to get a podcast playing when I had my gloves on. And I was like taking the blade off my lawnmower so I could sharpen it. I could have used my nose. And it would have been fine. I've never tried that, but now I'm probably going to be doing that a lot.
Well, the only quote-unquote problem is your nose is always greasier than your fingers. So as soon as you do it, you have to take the phone and like wipe it against your shirt or something, or else it's going to be a little greasy when you go touch it next.
I'm Italian, Thor. These fingers are greasy already, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I have headbutted my phone to answer it while cooking. You know, I've got grease on my hands or whatever, phone rings, and it's laying on the counter. I headbutt it to answer it, touching it to my forehead rather than my nose. So I've had that experience. Of course, now that I have the smartwatch, I just brush with the watch. But still, you trashed Beam. I didn't even have to. So I'm going to give my review of it now. I think it's actually a really cool app for a self-absorbed, vapid society.
The guy does have a lot of liquor in the background in the video, to be fair, though.
That only gives a little bit of credit. Something tells me it's not even his liquor. I don't know. I like the idea of like, you know, giving an app to my kid and telling him if he wants to share videos, here's an easy way to do it. But I don't think this is the app. And not to mention BEME. Really? 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 That is horrible SEO.
It could be Be Me because I didn't hear him say it, I guess.
I don't know. I don't know. First thing it says in the video is turn your sound on, to which if he could hear me, he would hear me
say, reaching
no,
out to you
no,
right
not.
There. Reaching
Dude's
out
got
door.
Seven monitors on his computer system. He's got some geek cred.
It could be Be Me because this is what I see right now. Be Me and check this out.
Mm-hmm. If any one of us would turn the audio on, we'd probably know that.
Yeah, we're just going to keep guessing.
Nope. No. Sometimes you got to just stick it to the man with a hair bun, and that's how I stick it to the man.
Let's see. It's got thousands of five-star reviews. 6,822 five-star reviews. 9,000 reviews total. 500,000 installs. So there's a lot of self-absorbed people out there. If you are too impatient to sit through a full six-second Vine, Beam is for you. All right, Dor. Empty your tank.
Since when did men want to look like women? Women have buns, not men. I don't know. Just
ever heard of feudal Japan?
Yes, that was different. You know why? Because they had honor. these guys today don't have honor. I'm pretty sure about that. Okay, first app is honestly a little bit like the mind mapping app, but to me, this is one to do diagramming on. This is called Draw Express Diagram Lite. Again, on a phone, I do not think this will be fun to use, I'll put it that way. It is by Draw Express Inc. E for everyone, no in-app purchases, free to download, no ads. It looks like 3,200 reviews above 4 stars. If you need to do network diagrams or flow charts or decision tree kind of diagrams, on a phone, I think this is a little bit cumbersome, a little bit difficult, a little bit hard to use without, my guess is, lots of practice. But on a tablet, this was actually pretty easy to use.
The guy who's showing the demo, if it's anything close to as easy as this guy makes it look, which I know it can't be, this guy's rocking it.
That's very cool.
This is. I mean, you draw somewhat of a circle, and it makes a perfect circle. You draw kind of a square, makes a perfect square. You draw a triangle-ish, it makes a perfect triangle for you.
He's doing it on a 5-inch screen. He's doing it on a phone.
Yeah, and what the kind of functionality I liked, but you have to watch the video to know, draw a box, it draws a box. Draw lines, and it separates the box. Draw the line between two shapes, and it makes the line correctly. Double dash the line, like cut it twice, and it makes it a dashed line. So there's definitely lots of little things this does automatically, but you really better go through and watch the videos to understand it, is what I'll say.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to impress your friends, learn this app and just do what this guy is doing in the video, and you'll get that job.
And bonus, they've got a BlackBerry app, so you really can't go wrong.
Wow.
Unless, of course, you're in a BlackBerry, then you already went wrong. Very, very wrong. And I have actually submitted network diagrams to PCI auditors, and they accepted them. So if you don't pass PCI compliance, you are going to pay a lot of money. So there's a lot riding on PCI compliance. And I was able to slide by with it, so I felt good.
And PCI compliance is credit card security?
Right now, it's credit cards, but in actuality, it's going to be any kind of payment mechanism, whether it's Apple Pay, Google Pay, Samsung Pay, even Bitcoin, possibly, you know, anything that costs money.
By the way, the light version is limited to 5 diagrams, and you're done. Then you've got to get the pro version.
Understandable. This is powerful. Well, how much is that?
You have to ask. You can't afford it.
Well, look, you scroll down at the bottom. It's got an iTunes link.
Oh, that kind of sucks. But if you also scroll down, there should be average cost, which I don't see.
New mind mapping feature. So there you go. Tying things together.
Yeah. Double bonus. Possibly if you look at it on mobile or through the Google Play app, you might see an average of
$7.99 for the pro version.
If your job is diagramming, then this might be worth the Monet.
It's just called Draw Express Diagram instead of Draw Express Diagram Lite. $7.99.
Gotcha.
Nice app, Dor. This is a quality, useful app. I'm really impressed with the demonstration video.
Right, I do like it, and I do like the fact bringing non-game apps from time to time that aren't complete garbage. Here's another one. This app was actually purchased by GoPro. So now it's a officially sponsored GoPro app, but it's called Quick, Quik, Free Video Editor by Super Flicks Inc. E for everyone, no in-app purchases, completely free to download. 3,000 reviews, 5 stars, it looks like 4.7 is the rating. So it's definitely, that's pretty, really kind of ridiculously high. I know two people that have used this app. One of them was Joel McLaughlin from TOLTS podcast. He spoke uncommonly high about this app, and he has no problem when an app is crap pointing out that there needs to be something better out there. The other guy I know who used this app said this was among the easiest video editing apps to use without having to know hardcore video editing techniques. Doing stuff like trims, cuts, adding text overlays, doing transitions, merging two files, all that stuff appears to be ridiculously easy. I will say that.
But it's not easy enough that they could put a video on the App Store page.
That just shows it's good.
Well, you know, they don't, but they have an extra long description that's supposed to help with that. It was recently purchased, so maybe GoPro will fix that. I don't know.
I'm installing this one. I think this is a nice editor. I like the idea that you can, there's songs already in there if you want to add a little music to a video. It looks like you can make a slideshow of up to 50 pictures, which could be handy. I think I could see myself using this this summer a couple times.
Very cool. This next one I'm going to bring is a kid's game. I'm going to call it a kid's game because it really is. But I did play a little bit, I'm not going to lie. And it was a little bit challenging, just enough to keep me interested for a little bit. And my son originally saw it while browsing YouTube and saw some guy playing it and talking over it. Slither.io. It is a, I believe, Flash web game. If you go to it, it takes your entire browser over. As soon as you launch the game, you're presented with to enter a nickname where you're literally playing against people online, okay? A la the old Snake game, except free-form movement, no hard right-angle movement. Every time you pick up a pellet, you do get a touch longer, but you also get a touch bigger, and you also get a touch slower. Your goal is to cut people off and have their heads hit your body. They immediately disintegrate into pieces. You can then gobble them up. You do have like a little speed boost button, and the goal is to basically stay alive as long as possible, get as big as possible, and just, you know, outlast and live. And if you go like by the last screenshot, what you'll see is a huge, thick, red snake and smaller, thinner other snakes. So the red guy's been around a long time and eaten a lot of pellets. I will say, after the very first time, I got over 1,000 points, I believe. And as soon as it ended, I had an ad. Wasn't a video ad, but it was a full screen ad that I X out of. There were two other apps just like this that I installed. Both of them had full video blasting ads as soon as you died, which made me immediately uninstall them. And then I found this one that my son actually did play a little bit, and he was happy to see it, so I let him play it for a while, too.
So the app just gives you control over, so you can control it on the website?
No. It is an app on your phone. You can play against people on the website, or you can play it through a full desktop browser.
Oh, okay. You know, the graphics on the worms kind of reminds me of the Amiga, things you used to be able to do in the graphics on that. I'm not playing it right now, but it's pretty fun.
Yeah, it's simple. I will say that. It's very simple. It's the kind of game where if you don't want to think about it and just play, you can.
You can run into yourself without dying, too, which is kind of neat.
Yes. You can hit your own body all day long and nothing happens. You just go right through it. I'm just going to mention this game just once, just because somebody did mention it in Google+. It might have been Todd. I'm not sure. We had Hitman Go. We had Tomb Raider Go. Like, this to me looks like another incarnation of the same type of gameplay, puzzle-based gameplay, Uncharted Fortune Hunter. Uncharted is a PlayStation, I believe, exclusive game. There's a brand new one coming out. If you're a fan of the series, the genre, or like the Hitman Go game, check out this one by PlayStation Mobile. Only 8,000 installs because it is new. You trust me, that number's going to skyrocket. Completely free. No, this does have in-app purchases. Have no idea what the in-app purchases are, but it's T for teen. It's a top-down puzzle game where there is some shooting, apparently.
Huh. I don't think I can play this game.
I'm not a fan of this. What it is you're shown a level, then you have to tap, manipulate the level, then hit go, and your guy goes through the level. It's a very puzzle game. Yeah.
Okay. When I look at a game like this, I think of it as one of those, I don't know what the genre is, where kind of like Plants vs. Zombies. Mm-hmm. What was that genre? Do you remember what that's called? Tower Defense. I think of Tower Defense when I see a game set up like this. And maybe that just makes me sour when I should just give it a try.
I wouldn't say you shouldn't be sour, but there's not a lot to the game to me. I'm not a fan of this game. This is like the old parking lot game as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Where you're top-down view, just figuring out how to get a car out of a parking space. I will say a game that did give my youngest son much more enjoyment is called Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes. I was very misinformed when I downloaded this game, okay? This is by EA. It's called a role-playing game, which should have tipped it off to me. 815,000 reviews, 4.6. So it's definitely highly rated. Does have some sort of in-app purchase, free to download, E for everyone, 10 and up. This is more of a strategy game than an action game. You pick your characters, you go on missions, you have three people, you come into confrontations with one, two, or three other people, and then you basically pick what you attack with, and then it does it on its own. There's very little interaction. The interaction is not like real time.
Kind of reminds me of Pokemon games.
I guess. Yeah, I just was, well, maybe that's why I didn't like any Pokemon games. It looked good, I will say that. To me, it was stupid in the sense of my team could consist of Han, Chewbacca, and a Stormtrooper.
What? Oh, yeah, that's not a thing.
No, not kosher at all.
Well, it is now with John Boyega.
I don't care, not kosher at all.
John Boy? John Boy who?
The new traitor Stormtrooper.
Finn.
Yeah.
All right.
Let me give a quick, if I can, while you're in that thing there, a quick follow-up to Warhammer 40,000 Freeblade that we talked about last week, Dor.
The Mecha Warrior
game. I was all super excited about it. That game lasted me about 30 minutes, and I was bored. The gameplay is just meh. Not even meh. It doesn't even raise to the level of meh. It's just boring. So
it's all pretty. No action.
Yeah, it's the you drag your curse your finger around to shoot guys, and then the melee thing, it's that, you know, tap when the thing hits the middle. And much like what you're describing here on Star Wars, you do a little bit and then you watch a lot, and then you do a little bit and you watch a lot. It's pretty, but I uninstalled it very quickly.
Gotcha.
All right, wrap us up here, Dor.
I can see myself kind of playing this game though, Dor, just because I can't do a first person shooter. I can't process all that stuff coming in and getting my crosshairs zoomed in on the bad guys enough. I just, something like this is more my speed.
Okay. What I'm going to bring next, I'm debating. Okay. I'm going to bring this one. That's okay. And I don't think I brought this, but maybe I did. So this might be a slight duplicate. I can't remember now, Mark. This is called Cube Escape Seasons. I might have brought this on the 0.5 episode is what I'm thinking. It's by Rusty Lake Puzzle, completely free, no in-app purchases, T for Teen, 6,500 reviews, 4.6. So highly rated, not a crazy amount of downloads. This is at least unique acting and reacting puzzle game. Graphically different than almost every game I've seen stylistically. And that alone made me at least pay attention to it. You have to basically figure out puzzles in scenes, individual scenes that you're presented with. And what it does is it basically tells a story. So each scene is a scene in a movie or a story, and you have to progress through. Ridiculously stylized is what I have to really emphasize here. If you really like clicking and tapping and figuring out a puzzle, then watching a minute or two of animation telling stories, this was really among the better of the best type of these games. And there's a whole series of them. Huh. This is just one of their games. Cube Escape is a whole series of games.
Watching the video here, just it's intriguing. I mean, it looks like you could spend some time getting through it. It looks a little scary. I mean, there's like blood and flies and stuff, but it's weird, like where they showed it kind of looked like he touched the telephone and then it turned like into an old crank wooden telephone. And did you play it? I mean, are you in this one room the entire time?
No. You go out of rooms. A lot of things you interact with basically can cause like flashbacks is what I'll say, to where you're like, you're touching something and then all of a sudden you're transported to a different time. Okay. But it's a more of a completion of the same story. Yeah, they have Rusty Lake Hotel Cube Escape Theater, Cube Escape Birthday, Cube Escape 23 Seasons, a whole bunch of these things. So if you download this and it at least gets you interested in what these people are doing, you have plenty of other content to, you know, take up your time.
At between 59 seconds and 1 minute of the video, Ron Burgundy makes an appearance. That's all I'm going to say.
Does?
It's just, you know, I gotta, just for like two frames. You got to be fast. But
really?
Totally Ron Burgundy.
Between what time?
59 and 1 second. Between 59 seconds and 1 minute. I mean, it's literally a fraction of a second.
Oh, yes, yes, it is. Good eye, good eye, good eye.
Huh.
Yeah, the Anchorman. Just boop. And of course, he's on TV because, you know, he should be. Yeah, nice. Huh. News flash. Woman found dead. No sign of killer.
Stay classy, San Diego.
Yeah, Channel 5. So I'm just going to bring this one just because it's interesting. I really do encourage people, check this out. And don't be shocked if 3 months or 6 months from now, some other Android show brings it up saying how the game is groundbreaking and different and unique. And they act like it's new when it really isn't.
All right.
And that's where I'm going to end off today. And I will say, you asked about hardware, Mark. I should have something coming, but I don't know when. I ordered it literally the first day we were heading up to Northwest Linux Fest on a suggestion from Chuck, one of the guys we were driving with.
Mark, I got this new piece of hardware here that's the Pi Drive.
All right.
The enclosure and wire system. And that was it hitting the mic.
That was really loud.
Yes.
Okay, guys, I think we're going to wrap it up here. We're running long. For you people who complain that since I came along, I've kept the show too short, this one's for you. and I do get those messages. So thanks for... Yeah, I do. That let them have their head, I think, was what one guy said. Clearly a horseman.
Well, I don't understand why they would say that to you, Mark. Can you exclaim it in a longer fashion?
Could I spend some more time talking about it? Sure. Let me tell you about it. I think I had toast and jam for breakfast that morning. Dory, if I wanted to just lay money at your feet, how could I do that?
I would honestly ask you to go to patreon.com and look for Element Opie, and I would ask you to do what you can to support everyone who supports Podnuts. That's the best way to support us.
You're just too good. So I'll say it. Go to patreon.com/androidappaddicts and sign up. Make a pledge. Make a fractional pledge. Now, unlike me, see, I charge by the episode. Door charges by the month. And people have signed up for me and put $10 in there. Awesome! $10 an episode. Oops. And then quickly backed off of that. So, Door, it's not by the episode. It's by the month. So if you put a dollar in there, you're giving him a dollar a month, a quarter a show. Come on, people. He's worth far more than that. Also go to, as he said earlier, podnuts.com/Amazon. Make the same purchases you would ordinarily make. No difference to you. Makes a few bucks for him. Eric, how about yourself? Anything you'd like to plug?
No, nothing today. I think.
How's the Dini Media redesign going?
Dini Media? Oh, it's coming along. I'd say we're at revision 0.8, and we don't want to launch until we get to 1. So.
Well, yeah, but see, he's just started to do scrums. So the team is building and growing as they're doing these scrums, which are definitely expanding the possibilities and making things more synergistic on his team.
So are you still doing daily huddles?
Daily huddles
with your team. Yeah, you got to do.
We're gonna try doing some mind melting, and also some graphing of lines and circles.
Yeah, be sure you get a whiteboard and put blue painter's tape on it to make a grid so that you can draw within each of the grids on the whiteboard, because apparently that makes you more productive.
Right, yes.
All right, that's it. Thanks for hanging out with us, and you stay classy, Internet.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.